This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. I'm your host, Jay Wirth, with Convergent Nonprofit Solutions. I have a friend with me today. I think I can claim him as a good friend. We actually worked together some time ago on a fundraising campaign for the Shenandoah Valley Partnership. And his name is Jay. So we won't get too confused. I think you'll be able to tell our voices apart. I have Jay Langston, Executive Director of the Shenandoah Valley Partnership. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Jay. And not that long ago that we were working very closely together.
It was a lot of fun. The campaign that we managed together under your direction and a very inspired volunteer as well that helped us out. It was a big success. We slightly exceeded our goal, fundraising goal. So I think everyone was pretty happy and probably a little relieved when it ended because it's a lot of work to do fundraising campaigns. And I have to give Jay Langston a lot of credit because he really put his shoulder to the wheel. He attended every single solicitation meeting that we had, which was, I'm sure, well over 100. He acquitted himself very well in those meetings, explaining the purpose and the programs of Shenandoah Valley Partnership. So Jay has been in the economic development world and business for over 30 years. Give us a brief synopsis of your history in economic development, Jay, and then I'll follow up with some more questions.
Sure. Well, to be completely quick, I have worked at the state level twice. This is my second regional directorship, and I've also worked at the local level, but I actually got my start in economic development in the state of Georgia in 1984. I find that hard to believe, but here we are.
What have you seen change over the last four decades?
Jay, you could probably almost quote this for me as much time as we talked about this on our campaign, but it really is a groundswell change in, I would say, the last 10 years, but the last five particularly. I was fortunate before coming to the Shenandoah Valley Partnership to be working at the state, the Virginia Economic Development Partnership, and was running the business retention and expansion team there. And we were talking with, you know, businesses every week all across the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the narrative was the same. It didn't matter where the company was or what sector the company was in. It was talent. It was workforce. It was really the beginning before the COVID pandemic of us seeing that workforce was really starting to drive the decision-making of businesses. And that was unlike really anything in my career, because when I got started and up through, you know, really the early 2000s, I mean, companies weren't worried about that. I mean, if you had a good project, you could oftentimes, you know, put a posting in the paper and whatever means was the, you know, appropriate media at the time, and you'd get 10 to 100 applications, you know, for a position. And then that dramatically started changing. I would say that that is the number one key that we saw, and probably maybe the only thing I've ever predicted correctly in this business was that workforce was going to become a dominant factor in the decision-making process. Where could they find the people and could they get people to show up? The second thing that I think really was highlighted by the pandemic, and I don't think it was the cause, but I certainly think it was, it correlated because people were spending more time. Quality of life aspect has become very important because it is all about keeping talent. When I first got into economic development, the quality of life aspect was relatively important because a lot of companies were moving and they were transferring staff in the 80s. And they wanted to make sure that the key personnel that were going to transfer would basically accept the positions and go to these places. Then in the 90s, early 2000s, again, people were dime a dozen, and that didn't matter anymore unless people were being transferred. Come about through the pandemic, we are seeing that particularly younger generations, Generation X and Z particularly, are making decisions upon where they want to live by the quality of life that they have there, which overall is kind of a healthy attitude, I guess, in many ways. And those are some of the things that, you know, I have really seen recently, and I'm saying in the last 5 to 10 years. And then I guess one thing to add to those other two factors is the speed of business has accelerated so much over time. It used to be, you know, the decision-making process was, you know, anywhere from 12 months to 24, you know, in that range. And now it is nothing for a company to do the start to finish in 3 to 6 months. And so that has really made us focus on the provision of sites and buildings, you know, the readiness level.
Working in economic development, you obviously form partnerships with the private sector, major manufacturers, major industries, and also the public sector, the local, regional, county, state governments. Does government get it in terms of economic development? Have you seen changes in that? Is there a better understanding, or is there still economic development's kind of a secret? We don't really know how it works.
Yeah. A little bit of both of what you said, Jay. I think it really does cover the spectrum of complexity and comprehensive understanding of the business dynamics. I am fortunate to have communities, and I work with a very good group of local economic developers. But as you saw, not everyone in my footprint has the same opportunity of being successful in economic development. We have the lowest population county in my footprint within the Commonwealth of Virginia, and sometimes often said the lowest east of the Mississippi. I've never validated that, but it's 2,000 people, and it's hard to even, you know, run a governmental operation with that few people. You think about the school systems. And so they're focused on community development and tourism development. And we have to be, as a regional group, understanding of those needs. And so you talk about a community that completely gets the financial basis and foundation of having a business portfolio there to help support them. They get it. You have larger localities sometimes that, while the governmental aspect is understood, the citizens themselves don't get it. And that's probably a growing challenge for us and our peers, and probably all across the country, I would guess, a hazard to say, where we're growing in the two small metropolitan areas we have in my footprint, there is a lack of understanding by the citizens somewhat, which push back on the government's like, we don't want to grow anymore. We don't want to grow anymore. And without understanding the financial dynamics of what growth versus non-growth really means. And that's where we do see some pressure. I think it's incumbent upon us as economic developers to be telling that message of business growth is good. It's certainly better than the alternative. And particularly is when I speak to people in our region, because we're in the aggregate a rural region, but we're growing. Both our economy and population's growing. And that is uncommon, really, in the scheme of things. So that's part of the messaging.
What is your region exactly? Let our listeners know the counties or the from north to south that you serve.
The Shenandoah Valley region is in Virginia. It's in the northwest part of Virginia, and a lot of people have heard of the Shenandoah Valley. But our footprint is basically three quarters of what is the Shenandoah Valley, a geologic region as much as it is a name. And it starts essentially just this side of the James River Basin in the south, which is Rockbridge County and the two cities of Lexington and Buena Vista, and then goes north to the tip of Shenandoah County and Page County. And anybody wants to know where that is, just look at where I-66 coming out of Northern Virginia hits I-81. And then that's our northern boundary. So that's 140 miles along Interstate 81. And then we, from the Blue Ridge all the way west into the Alleghenies up against West Virginia is our territory. So a large footprint, nearing 380,000. You can do that math. They're concentrated in two areas, and then it's pretty rural outside of that.
You work with education partners as well. James Madison University is there in your headquarter city in Harrisonburg. You have several other universities and colleges in the area. And of course, they're graduating seniors every year. What's been your experience maybe educating the educators about economic development and job availability in the region?
Thank you for that question. You have really honed in on the number one takeaway that Jay Wirth and I were telling all of our constituents is talent attraction for us in our region is everything. And heretofore, our 7 four-year colleges and universities were not telling a story about the career path opportunities here. We are blessed with a diverse economy in this region. Food and beverage is underlying much of our manufacturing, and we are a region that is dominated in the private sector by manufacturing, uncharacteristically. Even have more people working in that than in healthcare, which is our second largest. But what the universities did not understand is that each one of those manufacturings, the production is supported by human resource people, production managers, engineers, you know, business managers, logisticians, you name it, all of the functions that a business had in. Heretofore, the universities were telling the graduates to go forth to all of the, you know, big name cities, Dallas, Fort Worth, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., New York, Boston, you name them, you know, it was everywhere but here. And as a result, we did not have awareness from that 9,500 graduates per year in the valley that there were career opportunities here. And with our close proximity to Northern Virginia, in Northern Virginia, for those who do not know Virginia well, it is the D.C. metropolitan area that spills over into Northern Virginia and is a different world than where we are just 90 miles away. The young people didn't know that you could access those markets and still live here at a very reasonable cost and have a career. And so that is something that we have been really working on, and we're starting to make headway. We have started a digital marketing campaign. Jay, this is where we are starting to put our money. You know, we said we were going to put it in talent, and that's what we've done. We are doing very targeted media for our college graduates. We're doing marketed media for the people who went to school here and may be interested in coming back. We're doing very targeted around, you know, those people that are interested in coming here for remote work or coming back. And from a retirement standpoint, we will take those because those actually support some good paying jobs. So we have crafted a message and are building out our website, the ShenandoahValleyLiving.com, that is all focused on talent attraction. And it is actually, I think, already has become more important than our traditional economic development website. So Shenandoah Valley Living is what we do with our podcast. It's what we use to support the messaging of, hey, you can work, live, play in the Valley and have a good career, great place, have a family, and still be in close proximity to major markets if you want to work remotely, or if you just want to hop over to, you know, the Northern Virginia area for a weekend, it's extremely accessible.
Well, you have topography there that limits your industrial sites, as I understand. So it's not surprising that you've shifted your focus more towards the lifestyle.
Yeah, that is correct, Jay. What we find is we are very fortunate. We're a tourist destination, and we're going to play off of the tourism aspect. We're not going to be recruiting a bunch of tourists to come here, and we do have a very active tourism base that is very good at that. People like it here. We've heard in the surveys that people like the Valley. They like visiting. What they don't know is the other two aspects of that. Well, you can enjoy this every day and live and work here. I'm personally taking advantage of that. I've lived in the Richmond area, which I still love, but Richmond, Virginia area for since 87 until 2018, and purposefully made that move here. Absolutely love it. And so that is something that we are working on and want to better tell that story of.
Tell us a little bit more about the workforce there. What are specific initiatives that you're working with or have been recently or about to initiate?
One of the programs that has really taken off, and it's been within the last year, is a program called Job Starters. Job Starter is an introduction to the manufacturing environment. We borrowed the Hershey's Chocolate Company, boot camp model of where they bring employees in for a couple of weeks. Well, we are expanding that over a three-week paid, and think of it almost as an internship, but it's a learning experience where people are learning about the manufacturing environment and the different career paths that are within that. It is not a degreed program, but it could lead to certifications, and it certainly would welcome anyone with a degree that was interested in going and working for one of our major manufacturers. But it's around, you know, the opportunities of the industrial hygiene and maintenance, electricians, HVAC, PLC work, mechatronics, and the sought after good jobs that are available. And so we are now in the fifth cohort of students that are running through, and the last three cohorts, it has been 100% adoption or offers from the companies to the students that are going through that program. We are very excited about this. It is a partnership between Blue Ridge Community College and approximately 8 or 9 companies, and it is paid for in part by a grant that both Blue Ridge Community College and James Madison University received from a project that Shenandoah Valley Partnership worked with in 2019, which was Merck Pharmaceutical, who was looking for talent here in their biologics operation. And the two schools, JMU and Blue Ridge Community College, actually formed a partnership, and it has worked. and the state funded this to the tune of $5 million. The goal from Merck was they were going to hire 150 people with certifications through degrees in chemistry, biology, and then operations and those side. And this, the two schools worked together to provide that. The last count, they were at 185 and still counting. It has become a pipeline for this major Merck facility, and led to a $1 billion expansion in our region. So it was a huge effort, and we have been able to parlay that into other workforce type programs. We also have some programs that are certifications. We work very closely with our Workforce Development Board, which I happen to be a member of. We're doing apprenticeships now. We are very interested in introducing the schools to the business. At the beginning of the summer, I was able to get the JMU Engineering Department in front of seven of the manufacturers. And when they walked away, several of them already had the plans to follow up with internships co-op, and they have. They've actually taken that leap. So it's a process of where it's learning for our educational institutions and the businesses as well. No longer can the businesses just stand back and say, hey, you need to produce me this. They're stepping up and actually being part of the process.
Our guest, Jay Langston, Executive Director of the Shenandoah Valley Partnership, located in Harrisonburg, Virginia. To listen to Convergent's library of podcasts, go online at convergentnonprofit.com. That's convergentnonprofit.com. Click on the resources tab at the top of our homepage. Thanks for listening.